You can finish your holiday shopping faster than Spencer can finish a five-piece puzzle when you check out the 12 days of deals on Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need this holiday season and help support Rob Has a Podcast. Whenever you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, use the link robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA, or simply just click the banners in the sidebar of robhasawebsite.com.
Though Steven is not around, you still have to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls. Survivor know-it-alls. We're learning what we talk about. We'll take a chance and go put it out. They know it all.
Yes, that's right. Survivor Know-It-Alls is live here for the last regular Wednesday of the Survivor season. Episode number 13 is in the books, and we are here to talk about it. And that we would be myself and Josh Wiggler.
That would be ye.
Ye, and the royal ye and we.
The royal we. Yes, it's time to talk about Survivor. Let's do it.
Yes. And you can't spell Wiggler without we.
That's true. I've been told that my entire life. It's been awkward.
Josh, this was such an exciting episode, and I really got thrown for a loop tonight because I was 100% convinced that Tasha was going home.
Yeah, it was starting to look like Tasha was going home. There was a point in time where, as a nail male, I was getting really panicked with the increase in Keith's screen time, and I thought that it was going to be Keith's night.
Yeah.
I really never thought that it was actually going to be Abby's time to go. I didn't think that this was Abby time.
It was a night where I feel like Keith Nail was the most Keith Nail he's ever been.
Yes, it was he went full nail. He went full nail
tonight.
Yeah.
Early front runner for the hashtag.
Yes, yes.
We had Spencer really looking like he was channeling his mentor, Tony Vlachos, in like some sort of like Obi-Wan Kenobi force ghost, and looking like he was going to make that move again. Look, young lad, I'm coming to you. Use the force, Spence.
Oh my God. Tony Wan Kenobi is just a character that I wish that we had had in the Evolution of Strategy. That's very good. That's great.
That's very fun. And Abby Maria. What happens that people effed with her? So we only can imagine what will happen in the finale and reunion show 1 week from tonight.
All right. Well, we have the spoilers now because anyone who votes for Abby, they're dead, so they can't win. Right?
So this is a really exciting Final Seven, and it should be a very exciting night to talk about it all here with you. And then a big Thursday coming up here on the podcast, because first off, we're going to do exit interviews with Abby Maria. I was very happy that she did use her hashtag spectacle in the episode tonight, which she was talking about during the campaigning.
Yeah.
Are you excited when you talk with Abby Maria as well tomorrow?
I am pumped to talk to Abby Maria. I really enjoyed talking with her pregame. I know that this has been a wild ride for her, filled with highs and lows. I'm excited to chart Hurricane Abby one final time. I think it's going to be really fun, and I'm excited to write it up. I think it'll be good.
Yep, that's not going to be one you're going to want to miss. I think that Abby Maria is going to let loose. I think, you know, we'll try. She's also good on the exit interviews because she doesn't give long-winded answers. You could cover a lot of ground with her.
Yes, absolutely.
Excited to talk with Abby Maria. Of course, you could see Josh Wiggler's exit interview with Abby Maria when you go to robhasawebsite.com/parade for the stuff he writes for parade.com. Plus, then we've got one hell of a Survivor Thursday for you, because, well, actually, I'm going to record it later on tonight, right after the Know-It-Alls. Boston Rob Mariano. How about that?
Yes. Talk about ghosts. That's great.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, can't wait to get Boston Rob's take. It's been a little while since he's been on the podcast.
Yeah, it's been about 2 years since we talked to him and did one of these podcasts. And so very excited to talk with him and hear his take on everything going on in this season and who he's liking and not liking. And then voicemails with Mike Bloom coming up on Thursday. So big, big Survivor Thursday. Okay, so let's just get into this. And I really want to start with Spencer tonight, because I was convinced Spencer was going to make the move, and he really sort of laid it out pretty straightforward of that I've got on one side sort of like my allies that I'm sort of loyal to, and then on the other side, the dream team of goats, where he has both Abby Maria and Keith Nail and Kelly Wentworth, who is certainly not a goat by any stretch of the imagination, but you would think that he would have, you know, a fair fight against potentially if he couldn't get her out at Final Four.
Right.
And he chooses not to go down that path and chooses to go down the path with Tasha and Jeremy and Kimmy. And I would love to get your take on this, because while I was all set to come on here and pronounce Spencer as the villain of the season here, making this move at Final Seven after the move he made at Final Nine with Steven, he doesn't do it, and I'm sort of wondering why.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess that depends on how much do you believe. Is it, you know, if Spencer is going up against some combination of Jeremy, Tasha, Kimmy in the end, is that a slam dunk victory against him? Does he have a really, really hard time against that group of people? I don't know. I mean, you look at both sides of the aisle and there are threats in either direction. You would think that going with Kelly and Keith and Abby, especially Abby, that would be the less threatening path for Spencer, that would be the less challenging path in terms of where you are at the end. What do you think, though? Do you think that him being up against some permutation, some version of the we of Jeremy, Tasha, and Kimmy, do you think that that is much worse for Spencer than this other path?
I think that Jeremy is a tough guy to get around, because we've said all along that whatever the opposite of the goat is, whatever animal you want to assign to show pony, I don't know what you want to say, okay, the person that they get to the finals, once Jeremy gets to that final tribal council and announces that Val is pregnant and they have the baby on the way, and you know, Jeremy seems like such a likable guy. I think it would be tough for Spencer to beat Jeremy, but I do think on the other side of things, then you could see if Spencer flipped to the goat squad, then he probably would lose some jury votes and start to become a goat himself.
Right.
So would he become king of the goats to go to that side? And could Abby Maria and Keith beat him in a scenario where everybody is pissed off at him?
Oh, man, I don't know. That's a really interesting point. I think that that's, you know, the pro and con of being in, you know, being the fulcrum vote, being the guy who's kind of in the swing, who's in between two different armies. You know, Spencer has his pick of the litter tonight. He can either go with Jeremy and Tasha and Kimmy, or he can go with Wentworth and Keith and Abby. And he gets to make his own destiny. And there's reasons to see why it would cut him to go with Jeremy. And there's reasons to see why it would cut him to go with Wentworth. And I think that you really just perfectly outlined why that could be, it could be bad in both directions.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see where he's ultimately going, because it feels like then why have that flirtation with Kelly Wentworth and with Keith? Because it seemed like he really went down the aisle with them in terms of that move he was going to make, to the point where does Kelly and Keith Nail walk away spurned with Spencer?
Right. Yeah. I think that they could absolutely feel pretty bad about that. You know, one of the things that Spencer has been doing this season really effectively is he has been drilling down into inner circles, where he is really being allowed to be at the core of a lot of conversations. And that's great, because you can use that to inform your choices moving forward. But what's not so good about that is the people who thought that you were really in tight and close with them, they're not going to feel so good about that. So really in either direction that he went, given how far down the rabbit hole he went with Keith and Kelly in CM Reap, that really could, you know, you would think that that would reap some benefits, but it might actually, you know, reap some harm, potentially. So it's a tough spot for the wee lad.
Now, I don't know if I could put myself in Spencer's position, because I probably have no idea what it would be like to be at the final seven in a Survivor game with immunity and have a choice between two different groups of three, one with a bunch of goats and one with people that you are pretty loyal to, but probably won't win in the end against. I'm having a hard time visualizing what that must have been like for the young lad. But I think if I was in a situation like that, Josh, I think that I would have probably gone with the side with the goats.
In that situation, you would have rang the bell. Is what you're saying.
I think so.
You would have dinged the bell.
I think so. Because, I mean, for Spencer, I mean, and he spent so much of his time in this episode working with trying to get Tasha out. It feels like very quickly after this tribal council, I mean, isn't the next move for Kelly Wentworth to go back after tribal and say, boy, Tasha, Spencer was really pushing hard to get you out.
Yeah, and I mean, we did see earlier in the episode, Tasha like being like, I'm not sure where Spencer's at right now. So she would already be a little skeptical, potentially. Yeah, I mean, that would be in Kelly's best interest to be like, just so you guys know, Spencer was really hard selling us, you know, on reward. And that's an uncomfy position for Spencer to come back to. I think that it's going to be an awkward evening for the young lad, no matter how it had shaken out. I think that he's coming back to camp and it's going to be very, very uncomfortable. But no, that I hadn't even thought of it, but of course you thought about that. You've been in these shoes before. So yeah, if only he could have coconut phoned you from the island, you could have given him some advice.
Well, I don't know if I'm necessarily, if I have the kind of advice to get you to the end in a game like this, but I'll at least
you
get
him close.
Three.
You get him just to the door.
And three's all it takes these days.
Right.
So we can get them closer. But that being said, why Abby Maria in terms of who to take out from that side?
That was for we. That was for us. That was a move for the viewers, right? That's what they said. Like, hey, what season would this be if we brought the goat to the end? Let's clip the goat. It's for the fans. Beyond that, I think
they had to sacrifice the goat to keep everybody safe.
Yeah, it's a miracle. Yeah, they sacrificed the goat. I mean, it's something that had been talked about last week, you know, that Joe had brought up this idea of, you know, Abby becomes dangerous because everybody wants Abby at the end. And that like gives you a real hard number that is going to be in that three. Like now, you know who third place is, lock it in. And so when that is such a set factor, I think maybe that does increase the threat level on someone like Abby. And I think also as we're going down in numbers, and as we're talking about just how many Wii's might be in existence here, Abby is a difficult person to have in a delicate game of Wii's. She is volatile. She's all about me. And if you F with me, we are done. So I think that getting rid of that combustible element, that chaotic element right now, I can see why that's attractive. But that being said, if you can get in a situation where Abby's at the end, like at least you know that there's one person who's not getting votes.
Now, I know there's always so much that we don't see during the episode, but Josh, I feel like there's a big part of this story missing. Why did Abby Maria vote for Keith now?
Right. Well, Abby must have, you know, thought that she was in with Spencer, Tasha, Jeremy, and Keith. At least that's what I'm thinking. And they said, and we're going Keith tonight.
Okay. And so she didn't even feel like she was in with Spencer and Kelly and Keith?
I guess not. I mean,
and could that be the reason why then Spencer doesn't pull the trigger? Because then if Abby Maria is not on board, and she did seem a little skeptical, you know, we have seen so many scenes this season.
It's spectacle.
Yes. Spectacle and skeptical.
Yeah.
But we've seen so many scenes this season where somebody like tells Abby Maria the plan and she's sort of like passive aggressive, like, okay.
Yes.
You know, and she was like that again tonight when Spencer was talking about what the vote was going to be.
Yeah, and she's been that way with Spencer specifically. You know, she's been that way with Spencer specifically, where Spencer has been like, Abby, it's the same plan that we've been talking about for days. So you know, he's had that frustration with her. He's seen that spectacle and he hasn't liked it. So if she is not on board with this team that Spencer would like to get together, if that is his preferred option, if he does want to go with Wentworth, Keith, and Abby, but is seeing that Abby is not convinced that that's a path for her, then doesn't he have to jump on board with the vote against Abby in that situation?
If that's how it played out, then that is what he would have to do. He wouldn't have a choice.
Right. So who knows? Maybe she took the choice away. Maybe she forced the situation where it had to be her.
Yeah, a lot to unpack with this episode. Let's talk about this with Tasha, because I really love Tasha's position coming into this. And then by the end of the night, I thought she was getting voted out of the game. But she moves on. She survives to Final Six. So for Tasha, I just feel like, and when I was planning in my head, what am I going to ask her in the exit interview? I feel like my first question for her was going to be, Tasha, it seemed like it was all laid out so easy for you. Go with the Women's Alliance. Why wouldn't Tasha just take that Women's Alliance? You have Spencer, Jeremy, and Keith dead to rights. Why not go to the Final Four with the women and then just beat out Kelly and Kimmy and Abby for individual immunity at four?
Yeah, well, it's completely off the table in this episode, it seems like. I mean, to the point that she and Kimmy are openly mocking the idea of the Women's Alliance in front of Jeremy. Unless, you know, that's smoke and mirrors. But they're talking about it openly with Jeremy and saying, like, that's not really an option, but we can tell that you're spooked by it, that you're afraid of it. And I mean, I don't know. We talked about her a lot last week, that she was in such a great spot that she could really choose her destiny. And I don't know. I don't know if she chose wisely. I see exactly what you're saying. I think that would have been a really great road for Tasha to go down. But it was, you know, it was not a great night for Tasha. And, you know, that's, you know, even outside of the, you know, the near drowning experience, which was terrifying and definitely very scary. But the whole thing with her wanting to talk to Jeremy while Abby Maria was at camp and the way she handled Abby was just no bueno, as Antonio Mazzara would say.
Yeah, that really was not great, especially at the point where, you know, we haven't talked about Keith yet, but there's that moment at the challenge where they ask Keith, and you could do Keith better than me. Keith, who you want to take to the reward challenge?
What's her name? Tasha Yar.
He got to it a lot quicker than he did. But you know, the obvious response from her is like, you remembered it when we were at Tribal last night. Yeah, then you didn't forget it.
Yeah.
So it's like an insult to injury type thing. But so then she's like, well, you know, hey, there's four of us here. We'll have to do what we have to do. And so it seemed like the perfect time to bring Abby Maria into the fold rather than, you know, Abby Maria is left behind with them. And it turns into that Abby Maria becomes the target. And again, I know there's so much more that we don't see. And if you talk to any of those people from the Philippines, like I talked to Malcolm the other day, he could probably explain, oh, no, you spend some time with Abby Maria, you'll make her the target, too.
Right.
But that being said, it just seemed like such an easy thing. If you feel like the threat is coming from Keith and coming from Kelly Wentworth, why not try to court Abby Maria to come over to your side?
Right. Just try a little bit. But, you know, probably the reality of it is Tasha had been dealing with it for a long time, from all the way back to Angkor. And we saw how much of a struggle that was. And she had only been with Abby for like 48 hours, 72 hours at that point when it already started becoming a struggle. Obviously, it lasted a lot longer. And Tasha's been with Abby in this game for a while. And, you know, she was rolling her eyes when she was talking to Abby back at Angkor. Tonight, she escalated it to, like, you know, giving like the handgun signal to her own head. So she was obviously very fed up with Abby. And I think just the practical reality was that Tasha couldn't handle, you know, being around Abby anymore. But you got to try to rein that in. You got to try to rein that in for all the points that you're making. And the big one being that Keith is proving to be Golden Boy-esque. You know, he's really good in these challenges. He's won that same challenge twice now. He put up a strong fight up against Joe a couple of times and beat Joe in last week's immunity challenge. You know, he was a physical contender in the immunity challenge tonight, if not, you know, getting to the puzzle portion of the stage, which Spencer smoked, which was very, very impressive.
Very impressive.
Really, really good.
I haven't seen anybody put down a 5-piece that fast since I hung out with Wes Nail.
Ah, yes. I was hoping you were going to the chicken nugget eating contest. you know, but I feel like this was the time to get, you know, Keith, you know, this, and this is coming from the number one Nail Mail. But why wouldn't you rally the troops to go after Keith in this moment when he's vulnerable? And, you know, if he gets to the end, can he win in this jury? Are you thinking that he's like, if he's still left at the table, is that somebody you want to be there because he's beatable? Maybe not. If people really like him and he's doing great in these challenges, there's an argument. So I feel like going after Keith tonight would have been really strong, or at least an option that they should have considered pursuing. But, you know, we could bash Tasha about that all we want. The point is that Abby did vote for Keith. So her head must have been turned in that direction successfully.
Very fair. So let's talk about something else with Tasha. And this is a little bit meta, and I want to know this from you. So Tasha talked tonight about, we need to vote out Abby Maria because it's an insult to, and I'm putting words in her mouth, but basically it's not fair to the viewers who voted people in and the strategy of this season to take somebody who's a goat to the end. And almost shades of Denise Stapley. You don't take the person to the poker game who doesn't know how to play poker so that you could take their money. And on this season, we can't bring a goat to the end. The best players should get to the end. Josh, was that, in your mind, is Tasha just spinning that because it's a, you know, a convenient rhetoric to support getting rid of Abby Maria? Or do you think she really feels that way of we can't bring the people who are the goats to the end in this season, not this time?
I don't know. I mean, if that's what she's sincerely thinking, if like that's the reason, like if it's because it wouldn't be fair to the fans who voted us in, I don't, you know, don't count me in that number. Bring Abby if it means you're going to win. Bring Abby if it means it's beneficial for your game. If she is a number that can get you to the end and you know that you can squash her in the finals, by all means, bring Hurricane Abby to the top.
Yeah. So don't get more money.
Yeah. You know, so play Survivor, play it well. That's really all I care about. And playing Survivor well can absolutely include bringing Abby Maria forward. So, if she's doing that for the fans, if she's doing that for the folks at home, and I did vote for Tasha, you know, that's not necessarily what I'm voting for. And on top of that, just to put it out there, Abby Maria in the final three would be hilarious television. It'd be great TV. So if you're thinking about the fans, you know, the fans would have loved that. It would have been crazy.
Now, I think the guy who probably had the best night overall was Jeremy, because he avoids certain doom with this women's alliance really falling apart. And he's able to sort of protect Keith, where yeah. It's the weird situation where, and we saw Jeremy and Kelly and Keith talking about this of original OG Hunapu tribe.
Oh my God. Just seeing the word Hunapu on Survivor again, I just had a heart attack. I loved it. If that's our final three, I am calling Cambodia the best season of all time.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you. There, any chance of an all Hunapu final three?
It's hard to see how that happens. You know, it's hard to see how that situation comes to pass. But it would just be such a hilarious outcome for a season that was weed upon for many moons. For that to be the three of them, the only three 29ers in the game, for them to get to the top would be incredible. But I have a hard time picturing how that happens, unless you can see a path.
It would be a real zigzag to get there in the end, but I think you can fan fiction your way there if you really tried. But that being said, so Jeremy, I think, has a really good night because first the episode starts where Tasha wants to take out Keith and he's able to sort of like get the target off of him. And he has to be sort of vague where people are like, well, why don't you want to vote Keith out? Like, it's just like a,
because reasons.
Yeah.
You know?
And which is obviously because he wants to keep the nail mail because he needs he is worried about the male alliance getting picked off.
Right.
And so and then they're able to go for Abby Maria. And so the whole thing with Abby that ended up unfolding with Tasha ends up being pretty fortuitous because now it's three men, three women, and the specter of the women's alliance just rubbing out Jeremy and Spencer and Keith is off the table.
Yikes.
Yeah, easy.
So are you telling me that after all this time that Keith and Jeremy have come to an understanding of the meaning of sub-alliance?
Oh, is that one of the Wii's?
Is that one of the Wii's? That's a two Wii?
No, wow. I don't believe that that's the case because that Keith was still voting for Tasha to the point that, you know, Keith got snowed so badly that he not only voted the wrong way, which I think that Jeff Pittman was tracking. I believe he tweeted this past week that, you know, while we weren't paying attention, Keith got into double digits of voting for the wrong person at tribal councils.
That's my man. That's my Keith.
He adds his total tonight with that. But that being said, Jeff says, is there anybody who's confident that there we will prevail?
I'm supremely confident. We will reign supreme.
Yeah.
A la cuisine.
And Spencer, I thought it was very funny because it turned out to not be what I thought it was going to be. But Spencer's just like shaking his head. And I thought he's shaking his head like, oh, my God, he's going to blow it. He's revealing the plan.
No, that's just because Spencer can't help that. That's just a physical reaction. It's just what he does. He just, you know, all the time.
And so for Spencer, he's like, no, well, I admire the confidence, but he knows at that point that, you know, Keith's going the wrong way.
Yeah. You think that at that moment that Spencer is in this tribal council, he already knows what's going on. Do you think that anything was shifting in this tribal council, or do you think that four of Spencer, Tasha, Jeremy, Kimmy, they were locked coming in here?
Josh, I think that happens, you know, 1%, 2% of the time.
It's been happening more recently. You know, it's not off the table.
Yeah. Well, in the history of the show, you know, if it, you know, 400, you know, 50 tribal councils, I feel like, you know, has it happened? I don't know, 10 times, 12 times. Right. I don't think it happens that often. So
you think that he was just laughing because Keith was getting it wildly wrong.
Right. I mean, that Keith was being, Keith was going to Keith tonight.
That's all I can ask for the guy.
Can we talk about this from Kelly's perspective? Because, yes. I mean, Kelly ends up that she had been sort of like had a really good run this season so far of sort of feeling out where the vote was going. I had seen also, you know, that people had been tracking that she basically she votes with the majority every single time, with the exception of the time that she plays the idol on herself or, you know, some sort of, you know, idol shenanigans, but she basically is feeling out all season long where the votes are going, and she's piling on with the majority. Tonight's the first night she ends up in the minority without being in the know what's happening.
Right. Well, I mean, if you're looking at that track record, you know, and you're in the game and you're looking at that, it's like, oh, well, Wentworth really is a player here. You know, we really can't let her keep moving forward like that, because Kelly Wentworth out of nowhere, out of survivor obscurity, is this big gangster in this game. So you gotta watch out for that. That's very impressive that those stats. Those are great stats for Kelly. But yeah, she's on the wrong side of it tonight.
Is this a turning point for her now?
She's in a tough spot. She's in a hard spot. I mean, one of the things that has been great, I think Taryn Armstrong tweeted this out, is just how fluid this season has been. And that's difficult to keep track of from a narrative standpoint. And that is one thing that I do think is a fair knock against this season, is just how complicated the relationships are, that it can be hard from a story point to track where everyone is going and how everyone feels about each other. That is tough. But in terms of the strategy, in terms of the gameplay, these relationships, these dynamics, to quote Steven, it's a dynamic structure. There's lots of dynamic structures within these dynamic structures, and things are so fluid and moving so fast that it's really hard to say where things can go. Coming into this week, we really thought that Tasha was going to be deciding between a women's alliance and her Jeremy and Spencer crew, and that really didn't happen. So, you know, looking at it right now, Kelly looks like she's in a bad spot. Her and Keith were on the wrong side of that vote. How are they going to rebound from that? How are both of them going to rebound from it? Luckily that, you know, sneaky Wentworth has an idol in her pocket, so you got to imagine that's going to come into play. But she's, you know, it's not impossible that she can turn the tides with the help of the idol if she's somehow able to swing Spencer back to her side. I don't know. It's not impossible, but she is in a tough spot, and that is it's a bit of a momentum killer, but she still has a weapon in the bag. She still has something in her bag of tricks.
But doesn't it seem super improbable at this point? Because I don't see a path for her. I mean, other than the idol craziness that, you know, she does have an idol, but going into the final six, you got to feel like you like the side with four more than the side with Kelly and Keith.
Oh yeah, of course. If you're placing a bet, that sounds good to me. You know, I would put my money behind the four right now. But the point is that things have just shifted so much from episode to episode, almost wildly and blindly, that it's really tough to predict, that you don't know what kind of Wentworth could work with next week. Yeah. It's not off the table that she still has some people who are willing to play the game.
I mean, if you were gonna sort of like try to figure out the path to get to, you know, to get her to three, you'd have to say, okay, at final six, maybe Keith gets picked off there, that he's the bigger threat to win immunity. Maybe she could play the idol at five, which is the last time she could play the idol. So that would buy her a round of security. And then an immunity win at four, you could sort of piece it together that, you know, there's going to be three tribal councils at this finale.
Well, that seems to be the case. Is there any discussion of a possible final four? Is that on the table at all?
I feel like that we probably would have heard whispers about that.
Yeah, that would be, I don't know. I don't think that I'd like that. Yeah. It would be nice to see so many people have a shot, but at the same time, final three is already pushing it.
Is that too many tribal councils for you, Josh?
Three in the finale?
Three in the finale leading to the final tribal council.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot. A lot has to happen. You know, maybe there's a boring vote in there and we're just yada yadaing something. But, you know, I guess that it's hard to imagine that they can do, you know, one of these advantage rewards, you know.
Oh, that's no way.
Like that has to be off the table. So if if it means that there's more strategy in the finale versus, you know, more challenges in the finale, I'm excited to see what that looks like, considering how strategic this season has been.
OK, so it's going to be a really jam packed finale coming up. In terms of Keith Nails, is there anything else you want to say about him and his performance tonight?
No, but he's just, you know, tonight was great. As a big Keith Nail fan, I was very happy with everything he did. And it was just, you know, as you said, full nail. Full nail was a great speed. So I know Malcolm Freeberg must have been happy. We were all happy tonight.
Yeah. Can I call Keith out for something, though?
Of course. Absolutely.
Okay. So Keith says tonight, like, well, I'm at a Cambodian temple, 33 days, who would have thunk it? That I mean, you would believe I went to the moon. I mean, first off, if I told you...
It was like, Mars, Rob, be right, fair, whatever. It was Mars.
If
was
I
Mars.
Told you, like, oh, you know who was in Cambodia recently? Keith Nail. Like, oh, Well, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, he was up for that Survivor Second Chance thing. I mean,
that's
probably...
and he got on. He was voted onto the thing.
But didn't he say the same exact thing in San Juan del Sur about being at the spa? Like, oh, yeah. People would have thought I would go to outer space before I go to a spa.
Survivor isn't fun. Going to Mars is fun.
Keith, don't be doing best of yet.
He's got like a Rolodex of a few like jokes and metaphors, you know, and he's just using
the same
stuff.
Are they just Mad Libs jokes for Keith? He just fills them in?
Yeah, and he just loves Mars. He was a big fan of space. You know, he became a fireman. He satisfied that. But, you know, maybe the other one when he was a kid was being an astronaut.
Yeah, okay. So which action movie would you want to see Keith in? Keith Nail goes to space like Armageddon, or Keith Nail and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull?
Oh, let's not go to the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Let's take that off the table. I tweeted that that Keith should be in the remake of The Martian. In the Matt Damon role, growing potatoes out of his hunapu. That's what I would like to say.
Very good. All right. Yeah. Josh, anything else you want to touch on before we start to dig into these questions?
No, let's dig into some questions. That'll get us moving. You got a Boston Rob interview to get to.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff to get to. By the way, if you're watching us here live tonight, the RHAP t-shirts have been extended. Going to go throughout the night. I know a lot of people have been asking me about where to go to find them. Go to robhasawebsite.com/RHAP shirts. robhasawebsite.com/RHAP shirts. Okay, let's start off. Question number one. What do we got, Josh?
Cary Graveline. Fancy seeing you here. Cary Graveline kicks us off. What is Jeremy doing right to keep the target off of him this whole game? I mean, we keep talking about how Jeremy is this big threat that if you allow him to go to the top, it's going to be hard to beat him. The other people either aren't seeing that or he's just so good at deflection. What is it? What's he doing? How is he surrounding and drowning himself in terms of being a perceived threat out there?
I think a lot of people just feel like they're with him. I mean, I feel like that's what Spencer thought or thinks. I think that's what Steven thought. I think that's what Tasha thinks. I feel like that's what Kimmy thinks. So I feel like that Joe certainly felt like he was burned by Jeremy because that he felt like that he was with Jeremy. Andrew Savage thought he was with Jeremy. We've heard Sierra say at different times that she felt like she was closer with Jeremy than the show ultimately depicted. So I think that Jeremy is just like has a really good social game, and people feel like they're very close to him.
Yeah, that sounds right to me.
Spradlin-esque almost.
Spradlin-esque almost. And I mean, no one knows the Val thing. Good on you, Jeremy, for keeping the Val thing on lock, because if they knew, and I'm not talking about
that. You mean that she's a Scorpio?
No. That was really funny. No, and not the fact that he has two idols, that he has Val's idols either. But
he has two Scorpios.
Right. But no, the fact that he has a son on the way, that she's pregnant, the fact that no one knows that, I mean, firefighter from Cambridge with, you know, family, big family with a baby on the way, that story is, that is going to be a real selling point if he can make it. And if anyone knew that, I feel like, oh God, we got to take care of this guy. This is not good. This is bad. Bad situation. Fire Fist Ace says, do you think they are going to have four finalists for the $1 million vote? So we just talked about this. You can't see this at all. You don't see that in any way. There's no possibility that that's what's going to happen.
So what would it be? So we had a jury that started, what, at the final 13?
Right.
So it would be a final four and a 9-person jury. I just think you're asking for a scenario where somebody wins with like 3 votes.
Right. I mean, yeah, it would be spread out. It would be spread in many different directions.
Right. I mean, I feel like that's okay. All right. That's, you know, 2 votes, Spencer, 2 votes, 2 votes, Tasha, 2 votes, Keith, 2 votes, Jeremy. All right. 1 vote. It'd be exciting, but it's too much.
I think so. I think that a final four, hard to wrap your head around, hard to imagine that being great television. There's probably people who are fans of it, of the idea. A lot of people who are speculating about it. I don't want to see it. I think that'd be tough.
Yeah. We don't even love the final three.
Yeah, I know. You know, there's arguments for the final three. If you've got a really good, compelling argument about why final four, I'd love to read it. I'd love to see it. Maybe you can convince me, but it's hard to imagine that being a great idea.
It's too much.
Okay. Too much.
What do we got? This is from Chris Frick, who says, do you think that Spencer's allegiance to Tasha in Cagayan is impacting his decision making with her now?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Spencer threw Tasha's name out at CM Reap. He was like, let's go, Tasha. I think Tasha should go instead of Jeremy, because they're like, I think Jeremy. And Spencer's like, I think Tasha. So he's been tossing Tasha's name around. And she's been talking about how she's worried about Spencer. So I don't know how much of that is just for the show. And how much, you know, maybe, you know, the secret thing would be that they trust each other so much that he could throw her name out there, and there's so much trust there that she wouldn't be so worried about it. But I don't know. I don't know if that's the thing that's impacting his. He must think that he can somehow beat this combination of people. He must think that he's got a resume against Tasha, Jeremy, and Kimmy. And I think that he certainly does against Kimmy, but against Jeremy and Tasha, I think it's tough.
Well, I think that we've seen that Spencer is open to doing just about anything to win this game. Do you think that Spencer is looking at it, voting out Jeremy at 4 and then going with Tasha and Kimmy to the end?
And I mean, how big of a risk is it to let Jeremy go to 4? Because Jeremy is not a stud with these challenges. You know, he's a stud in other aspects of the game, and he's a stud in life. But he's not great at these challenges.
He was doing all right tonight.
He was good tonight. He was good tonight. But historically, I mean, he's won an immunity before. He won in San Juan del Sur, but
A memory challenge.
Right. And he has also said famously in the past, back in San Juan del Sur, he's like, I suck at these challenges. I'm not good. So, you know, I could see Spencer thinking that he could take that risk to take Jeremy to 4 and that the odds of Jeremy winning immunity wouldn't be super high. That still feels far to take Jeremy. That still feels like you're really pushing it.
Not to mention, young lad, 2 immunities this season.
Right.
Joe's out of the way. Yeah. 5 lifetime immunities for Spencer.
Totally. I mean, Spencer is building a case. Absolutely. He is definitely, you know, he took down a huge strategic threat in Steven. He can claim that move as his own. He is a swing in the Abby vote tonight. I don't know how much you want to call that, you know, like a real, you know, scalp to add to his collection. But he has these 2 immunity wins. And depending on how he plays it moving forward, he could go to finals with a huge resume. He could have a pretty good argument. So, you know, not to discount anything that he's doing. What he's doing is pretty impressive. The fact that he is trusted so much by people, that is really hard to manage, I think, especially for Spencer, who is, by his own admission, his social game has not been his strong suit. So kudos to him. But I think, as you outlined, the other edge of that sword is that you're burning too many people potentially. So hard to say which way that goes, whether, you know, the way that he's playing would be respected or, you know, poo-pooed on.
Okay, let's keep going. What about Edward Morris?
Edward Morris says, do we know who wants to really go to the final 3 with whom? Is this going to be a crazy finale? I think this is going to be a nuts finale.
Shaping up to be.
Yeah. You know, the field is so, you know, it's so volatile right now. It's hard. It's really hard to see how it's going to come together.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty wild. I love the part in the episode tonight where Abby Maria was talking about, you know, it really comes down to who do I want to take to the finals?
Yeah.
Yes. Perfect. Absolutely, Abby.
Yeah. It was great to see Hurricane Abby back. I mean, she had been Purple Abby for so long, but I thought her confessionals tonight were really, you know, great core Abby that we had gotten earlier in the season.
Good stuff from Abby Maria. Okay. What about from Derek Hazleton, who says,
oh my, oh my, this is controversial. Derek Hazleton, who is the better we, you or at Round Howard?
I don't even know what they're talking about.
I don't know if we want to comment on that. Is he talking about our Wii skills, our WII, our Wii sports? I played Wii sports. That's the only sports I know.
Yeah. How good are you?
I'm really good at Wii tennis.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. It's all in like the wrist flick, and I can cheat bowling pretty well too. I can get a strike every time. It's really, wow. Really, this is my skill set, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what I bring to the table.
Okay, Noah Wagner. No one's talking about Kimmy to the end. Seems like an ideal go. Why not plan to take her?
Yeah, I mean, this deep into the game, it's hard to tell what people think about Kimmy, and I feel like that's not a great sign. You know, is that a sign of, you know, if this is a final 6 and we just want a yada yada through a boot, is she somebody that's just like an easy yada yada from a storytelling standpoint, or is she just a goat that's going to be taken to the end? You know, I feel like Kimmy's been doing something right. You know, she was instrumental in that Monica vote. She was really strong there. We saw her speaking up about doing what Monica had wanted to do earlier with the Women's Alliance last week. She was really tight with Steven. She's been really tight with Jeremy and Tasha since Steven's departure, his sudden departure. So I think that she's been, you know, she's brought stuff to the table. But it's just no one's really talking about her. It's hard to get a sense of where Kimmy is in the game. Do you have a good read, or Josh, about where Kimmy stands right now?
No, I don't. And last week she was all about the Women's Alliance. You seemed like she was pushing that. But then tonight she seemed like she was back in the fold with Jeremy and Tasha. So it doesn't really compute where she's at, other than to say that she's probably maybe just had like a little bit of a flirtation with the Women's Alliance thing to get out Joe. And then ultimately, now that Joe is gone, she sees a clearer path to the end with the Jeremy and Tasha side.
She's sticking with the Bion family. Family first.
Yeah, I think so. If I had to guess where it is, but I don't feel like that she has a compelling case to win in the end.
Right. Yeah. It depends, not even really depending on who she's up against. I don't know that she can beat any of these people.
Okay. Ryan Hilliard wants to know, when do the hidden immunity idols have to be used by? In my book, I believe it's five.
So we've got two tribal councils for that to happen. So, you know, there's a lot of potential with these two idols that are in play. Kelly's got one. Jeremy's got one. They're on opposite sides of the line. There are two tribals where they can be played in the finale. So, you know, that in the room, in the, you know, the finale, that crowd is going to go insane whenever those things come out, because they have to come out. I don't know how that's going to play. A lot of people speculating that they could be played at the same time and we could get a no vote situation. I don't know. What do you think? What's your prediction for how the idols are going to play?
I mean, you wouldn't think, unless Kelly feels like that she is in danger at the final six. If the vote stays the way it is right now, it looks like it's shaping up that Keith would probably go out that at six, unless Kelly is feeling like. So you wouldn't think it's going to be likely that Jeremy would play an idol at final six.
Right. So you think that his idol is saved for five?
You would think so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's go to Jamie A, who says, will Spencer be able to work with Keith and Wentworth after this, or will he be dead to them in Abby's honor?
he effed with them.
Effed with them.
No, I think that if Abby was one of the people who was still around, let's say that they had got, like, if Abby was still really loyal to Wentworth and they had gotten rid of Wentworth and it's Abby and Keith that are around, yeah, I think that Spencer would have a hard time working with Abby. I think that he might be dead to her. But when it comes to Wentworth, I think Wentworth has been pretty unemotional about this, which has been one of her strengths in the game. So I think that even despite this, if Spencer came to Wentworth and said, like, there was a reason I did that, and it's because I want to do this, this, and this, and it involves you, I think Wentworth would be like, oh yeah, I'm in. Hashtag Team Wentworth is in.
She's open for any way you want to vote, I think.
I think
Keith
so.
Is used to just sort of like, well, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
He's used to not knowing what was going on. So I don't think there's going to be any sort of like vindictive move on Kelly's part. I just think that her and Keith are in a really lousy situation here, down 4-2 at final six.
Yeah. I think
who would flip over to vote with them? Like, who's going to be the Sierra who's going to listen to Hayden's call? Hey, let's go to rocks here at final six.
Yeah, hard to picture who wants to entertain that thing. But I think just the point that it's been so flexible and some of these stories just haven't been super developed. So we don't know. We don't know who Wentworth's true friends are out there. There could be a reason for that to happen, but it is hard to see it. Based on the information we have, it's tough to see.
Hey.
This is from Voice of Silence. Jeremy is now the only person in the game who never got a vote cast against him. Could he join the club of playing the perfect game? What do you think about the perfect game? If he never gets a vote against him and he wins, he would have to clean up all the votes.
Yeah. Could he do it? I mean, he certainly could.
Yeah. Is he against just about anybody? Are there people that would give him a run for his money? People who would take votes away if you go up against Jeremy? I feel like absolutely, right?
I don't think that he would get in win in a shutout. No.
Yeah, I don't think so. It'd be cool. It'd be fun.
Although that being said, is anybody anti-Jeremy? I mean, Joe has been the one person who seems like he's sort of anti-Jeremy in talking with him.
Right. I mean,
he didn't seem like he hates Jeremy.
Sure. I think he feels a little betrayed by him and Tasha for them turning on him. In Wigglesworth's exit interviews with me, with everybody else, she talked about feeling especially betrayed by Jeremy in her getting voted out. She really didn't see that coming. She figured Spencer could flip. She figured Steven could flip, but she did not see that coming from Jeremy. So that's somebody who would be upset against Jeremy. I think those are really the only two who are actively anti, and actively anti-Jeremy is even pushing it really hard.
Right. And to say who they would vote for, I mean, those could be votes for Keith Nail, potentially, if he's in the final three with them.
Hell yeah.
Hard to imagine a scenario with Jeremy and Keith both in the finals.
Right. So, Great scenario.
We'll see. Okay, let's do one or two more questions. Joyful says, did we see the first glimpses of a Dodo edit for Jeremy with the Scorpio talk? No, that was funny. I mean, but what we did see, and when we talk about a perfect game, I feel like that Jeremy's saying, I wish I had a mulligan for the last vote. I wish we didn't vote Joe out. And he said it more than once.
He regretted that. Joe is the meatiest meat shield of all meat shields. He wanted him still around right now because he does feel, you know, we see it tonight with Jeremy that he felt vulnerable afterwards. And having Joe around would at least be someone to take the target further off his back. You know, ultimately, it turned out he didn't have much to worry about. So, you know, not a ton to regret, but there hasn't really been anyone out here. There's no one really in the game that doesn't have some measure of regret, I don't think.
Yeah. I think that Jeremy also, when Savage went home, I think he was the person who argued put the votes on Kelly Wentworth.
Right.
And I think I would also be interested to know from Jeremy, would he want his idol back when he saves Steven?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, I think that those are some questions to ask Jeremy. So I don't think there's one person that this isn't a season like a Redemption Island or a One World where it's like one person has just been masterful and everybody else is sort of fine. And that's why it's an exciting season.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, if you're talking about some of those close to perfect games, some of those games that are really talked about at the high elite level, they often come from, you know, seasons that aren't terrific or not considered terrific anyway. So I like that this isn't a season that's dominated by any one individual. Of course, you know, that makes it very, very exciting and entertaining. It can be really great when that happens. You know, one of the great seasons is Kagiyan. But I enjoy that, like, it's really up for grabs right now, and there are a lot of really worthy contenders right now.
All right.
So that's good. I think that's great.
Well, that's one last question. Give it to us from Shawnee.
Shawnee says, does the move Spencer made mean he thinks he'll beat Tasha and Jeremy in the final three, or will he flip again? And I think that that's the question that you and I have been batting around all night.
Well, the next spot to flip would be at 5.
Yeah.
And so where, if he is going to follow the Tony plan, okay, so at 5, I mean, where would he go at 5? I mean, that, I guess you could see a scenario where he would partner up with Kelly, but then who else?
Right. I mean, if he goes at 5, like if he thinks that he could team up with Tasha and Kimmy there to take out Jeremy, maybe he thinks that he has a shot against Tasha, and certainly I think he's got a good shot against Kimmy.
I think the logical move that would make sense at that point would be to say, okay, I don't know if I can beat Jeremy. What if I flipped and went with Kelly and Kimmy? Would Kimmy come potentially and say, hey, would you want to go to the end with Wentworth and I, and then have a final three potentially of Spencer, Kimmy, and Kelly?
Maybe. Do you think that, but Kim, would Kimmy betray the family? Is she gonna swing away?
I mean, does she want to win the money? I mean, she has a real family at home.
Right. Yeah. It's in the mix. It's in the mix. It's a possibility.
Should be. No matter what, it will be a fun night next Wednesday night. Now, of course, next Wednesday night, our coverage is going to be a little bit different. Of course, we have the live show and our coverage here, I believe, should kick off around 11:15 p.m. Eastern time. And so I think, you know, this is a season of big moves, Josh. You have to make big moves, right?
That's what I've heard. I've heard it's about, you know, fulfilling your second chance, to recapture the glory of something you've done in the past.
All right. So I think that what we're going to try to do here is, of course, that Josh Wiggler is going to be at the finale. That's He goes every year.
Look for me in the back row of the auditorium pumping my fist. That's what I do.
And so I think what we're going to try to do is, you know, we got to close out this know-it-all season in style. And so right now, what we're planning on is that I, too, will go to the finale. And
yes.
So Josh and I are going to attempt to come to you live from the Survivor finale red carpet and do the know-it-alls from the finale.
Oh my God.
Should be pretty crazy. We're going to test some stuff out still this week. So we're not totally locked in, but this is the plan right now. And we're going to stick to the plan, barring any unforeseen technical disaster. If there's some sort of problem with our live stream, we're going to record the whole thing and we'll post it after the show live. So at the very least, it'll be there for you come Monday morning. So
no, that'll be really fun. I mean, we're going to talk about all the crazy strategy that's going to happen in the finale, but we'll be able to cycle in the finalists themselves, and get them to clarify some stuff. So I think that that's going to be really cool to get that live hot take immediately. I'm really amped up for it. It's been a huge season. It's been such an honor getting to fill out Fishback's chair, all season long. So I'm excited to get to close it out in style with you, Rob, on the carpet. I think it's gonna be great.
It'll be a lot of fun, and, really am looking forward to this. And, you never know who's going to stop by. It should be a very fun night. Should be a lot of people in the building that are a lot of familiar faces around. So it should be a lot of fun. And, you know, say a couple of, you know, rosaries or whatever, you know, whatever you want to, whatever Survivor gods you want to pray to, pray to the technology gods for Survivor.
Pray for the merge. Pray for the merge.
All right. So, Josh, what's the hashtag?
Oh, man. I mean, did we top Full Nail? Did we get anything full past Full Nail?
Full Nail is pretty good. Let's go with Full Nail. And then of course, we're going to have exit interviews with Abby Maria tomorrow. So we'll be on the lookout for that. Follow Josh on Twitter when he's got it up, that he will tweet it out at Round Howard. And then, of course, you want to lock into Rob is a Podcast, robisawebsite.com/iTunes for the subscription link. And then podcasts with Boston Rob, voicemails with Mike Bloom. Get your voicemails in robisawebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. And then we're starting to get ready for the finale next week. Can you believe it?
Yeah, I can.
I feel like the season flew by. I really did.
It's been, you know, it's been a whirlwind. I mean, we've been in second chance mode since May. So yeah, it feels like the season actually flew by, but it feels like we've been steeped in the season for honestly since, you know, the weeks leading up to the vote. So this really, really epic moment in Survivor history is about to come to a close. And I can't wait to see how it plays out. It's really, really awesome. It's living, breathing Survivor history. And the next week before the Survivor finale is the best week.
All right. So it's not, I guess it was what, the end of April when you were in our first week of May and you and I went through these 32 names that were in the mix?
That's
down
right.
to six.
Down to six. Down to six. It's wild. It's really wild.
Okay. So, so much fun. Again, thanks everybody who uses our links for Amazon.com this holiday season. That is greatly appreciated. Looking forward to seeing your comments on robhasawebsite.com. Have a great Thursday, and we'll be back to talk about all this and more. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.